Hello, everybody. Welcome to HappyCast with Ben and Brian, your number one source for the things that make you happy, the things that bum you out, and everything in between. I am Brian. This is Ben. Hey, Ben. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Potato, how are you?
I like doing. Sure. All right. I mean, what's your favorite method of potato preparation? Baked, fried.
In waffle fry form, I would say,
or curly,
scalloped.
Are curly fries potatoes?
They definitely
are. It feels like they're not. They feel like different types of vegetable.
Well, I mean, maybe there's a different, prep method behind it. I thought it was just a potato cut differently, but I'm no fry expert, Ben.
Well, potatoes aren't naturally curly.
No. You have to have a special potato curler. You put the potato in, you press it, and it curls it out. It's weird.
Oh, like those Play-Doh cooking machines?
Yeah, like the Play-Doh Fun Factory. You just, they make that, those for like actual potatoes. And you just run it through and deep fry it, and that's how French fries are made.
So we are an educational podcast.
Sometimes. Not on purpose.
Oh. Well, no. I think we have that tag in iTunes.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine. We'll just have to make sure we drop at least a little educational knowledge each episode, like a little morsel.
That's what the Abentus is for, teaching people about saying sports teams wrong.
Teaching people about words, what sound like other words.
Oh, we learn that every episode.
That's true. It's my life's mission, Ben, just to find out every word that sounds like another word.
You're a real big bird. Does he do that?
Maybe. I don't know. I am told that I was way into Sesame Street when I was a kid. I have no recollection of it.
I've been told that same thing about Power Rangers, and I also do not have any.
I'm a little older than you, so I remember being like super jazzed about the Power Rangers. Like I remember one birthday, I think I was like 5 or 6. I got all the action figures, like a complete set. It was pretty dope.
The one memory I have is laying in the floor in my bedroom, playing with a large red Power Ranger head, and that's it.
Just a disembodied head? Just a severed Power Ranger head?
That's as far as my memory goes. It might have been on the front of a truck. It might have just been, I don't know, a cup. It was a red Power Ranger head, though.
Okay. So, as somebody that was way into the Power Rangers but does not remember it, are you excited about the new movie or completely disinterested?
I'm indifferent. I'm curious because I watched the trailer. I'm like, I had no idea what it was until the very end when it said it was Power Rangers. But I didn't know what it was or if I'm supposed to be interested. Same thing with the Ninja Turtles. I'm pretty sure I watched it, but I don't remember watching it.
Okay. Yeah, I was a big turtle head too. So I don't know. These things are trading mostly on nostalgia, so that's kind of what they're banking on. I'll probably see the Power Rangers movie just because Bryan Cranston's in it.
Well,
as Zordon.
His digital face is.
Sure, his voice. It does look like, you remember like back in the early 2000s, if you ever went to like a Spencer's Gifts or something, that little gadget doodad toy that's like got all the metal pins and you like put something in, it takes the form of that.
I love that.
Yeah, those things. It pretty much looks like they just like put Bryan Cranston's face into one of those. It's like, all right, now read all these lines.
I always tried to use that, but every time I tried to make my face imprint, I would accidentally tilt it and it would all just go back to foom.
That is a bummer. Well, Ben, I think it's time to go forward into the happy hour. Happy hour is the part of the show where we talk about what's making us most happy for the week. Ben, what is your happy hour pick?
Oh, okay. So I have several things to choose from. Should I go with something that I have just recently watched, something I've just recently played, or just recently eaten? It's a choose your own adventure, so you can choose which one.
Let's go with the food stuff.
Food stuff. Okay. Well, that one's gonna be kind of boring. It's pizza Pringles.
Well, I feel like you really shouldn't have given me the choice.
Between watch and play. Let's go with watch. We'll go with watch.
What have you been watching?
You chose the wrong adventure. You turn to that page and your character just dies in the book and you have to flip back to where you were.
That's the only proper way to read those. I mean, I always wish that I, you know, had enough confidence to fully commit to my choices, like pick up a choose your own adventure book. It's like, oh, you were invited out to a adventure in a cave in the woods with a friend of yours. I'm like, I say no. It's like, you go home and go to sleep and have a good evening. The end. I'm like, well, that was a boring book. Oh, well, to the trash it goes.
Is that what you do with your books when you're done?
Yeah, I read them once, I throw them directly in the trash. Is that not the proper protocol?
No, give it to a library. They can use it. Or have you ever tried to just read a Choose Your Own Adventure book in order, like page one, page two?
No, I can't say that I have.
You should. I haven't, but I have feel you? Like I should have.
I was going to say, it seems like something that you would have done, so I'm surprised that you haven't.
I would have do it if I had already finished the book. Otherwise, spoilers.
Of course, right.
I'd be like, wait, when did I find the lost gems?
Usually the endings can be on the third page.
Oh, yeah. So Megan and I have been watching something on Netflix. I'm rewatching. She's watching it for the first time in preparation for the upcoming Netflix movie. It is that anime, one of the only ones I like, Death Note.
Oh, right. Yeah. I saw that there was a teaser trailer for the new movie.
Oh, yes. I watched that teaser trailer, and I am really excited. I've never finished the original series. I got close to finishing, but it was in college, and I think I got busy soon after, so I stopped. If you don't know what Death Note is, it is an anime series, like 37, 32, somewhere around there, episodes. This student in Japan, a book falls from this guy called Death Note. He picks it up, reads the instructions, finds out anyone whose name he writes in there will die within 40 seconds. He can even specify how they die if he wants to, but the thing is you have to know both their name and their face. So this kid with a kid, or I guess high school kid's idea of morality, starts killing off every single criminal, like the worst ones first, slowly getting less worse as he goes. The police start noticing something's weird. They investigate. They hire a special investigator named L, who no one knows his name or face. What a coincidence. And they kind of versus each other. Oh, and there's like this demon god who dropped the book, who hangs out with the kid the whole time. No one can see him but the kid. It's hard to explain that way. That part makes it sound stupid. But I think it's like anime Dexter, but with magic.
I mean, like, it goes without saying, all anime has magic in it, right?
Does Pokemon count as magic or science?
I feel like some stuff in there is definitely magic territory. Like the Pokeball. Just, I don't know. I mean, if they took the time to drop some pseudoscience about how these large animals live in these small balls, then maybe. But they just seem to be very unconcerned with it. Like, and then you throw this and they live in there. And I don't know what it's like in there. No. Don't think too much about it. It's like a TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside.
No, I feel like I did read about the Pokeballs because I think that it's supposed to be science-y. There's a thing where, like, they push a button in the front and they get bigger and smaller already. Like, they're on their belt, they're really small. But when they press the button, they enlarge. And then I think it transfers their energy inside or something. Kind of like Honey, I Shrunk the Pokemon. And that's how it works. I think.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah, Death Note. It's interesting. It's kind of dark. I mean, it's about killing random people. Just like Dexter, when he gets close to being caught, he starts killing people who aren't as guilty of murder,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
gets bad. And they do the anime thing. I guess it's the anime thing. I don't know. I don't watch that many of them. Where a lot of times something will happen, and then characters will think or say out loud a synopsis of what just happened in case people didn't understand it yet. I feel like that's happened to other animes I've watched. That happens a lot.
And, that's a good trope.
Well, the Netflix movie is, I guess, my more happy hour because I watched the trailer, and it looks good. The guy they have to play the spooky death god demon is old what's-his-face from that Spider-Man movie.
Yep, old what's his name?
William Dafoe.
Nope, that's not it. That's what I almost said. Yeah, that is an actual name, but his name is Willem Dafoe. Willow Dafoe.
Are you saying that Willem isn't a real name, Brian?
William is. I don't know what's his name. It's like
it's Willem.
Willem? Yeah, like, yeah.
William. That's what his rapper name would be. Hip hop. All the Willems now who listen to us are going to write in and complain that you think Willem's not a real name.
Yeah, the legions of Willems, yes.
Well, if you feel like it, no one has to. But if you want to see how good of casting he is, Google Willem Dafoe Death Note and go to the images. There will be some really good comparison images. Like, a lot of people think he was only hired because he has a naturally creepy smile. And the Death God Demon thing is constantly creepy smiling. So it's kind of the perfect role for him. Other than that, I don't know who else is in it. I don't care who else is in it. I just want to see it because Willem Dafoe is playing Ryuk, the Shinigami Demon.
I will say that I'm very excited about it because the director, Adam Wingard, is... let me double check. I want to make sure I'm not giving any false information here. Ben, what? Vamp for me.
I want to suck your blood. That's our vamping now. Oh, some people say he's making a good Joker. Okay.
Adam, I had to double check. Adam Wingard, the director of Your Next and one of my all-time favorite movies, The Guest. He's also doing the Death Note movie, so I'm excited.
Oh, I didn't know it was that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He also did the new Blair Witch, which isn't very good, but I don't fault him for that.
I fault it being Blair Witch.
All right, so you're just like anti-Blair Witch across the board? You don't have any fondness for the original?
I don't mind some found footage movies. I didn't really like that one where they're like, oh my god, we're dying in a forest. Don't go into the forest. Just don't go in there. Forests are creepy. And I haven't watched it, but how do they have enough battery life to film so much in there? Do they have like portable chargers with them? That's what I'm going to assume happened.
Solar powered batteries. Solar.
Anyway, yep. Death Note. How about you? Do you have a happy hour this week, or are you too sad?
No, I do have a happy hour. As we're recording this, we are just weeks away from the return of two of my two current favorite shows on television, Better Call Saul and Fargo. And they can't get here soon enough, man, because it's been a real rough few months. I feel like I've been watching like the television equivalent of like junk food, like no nourishment, no substance. And now, you know, Better Call Saul and Fargo are like home cooked hearty meals. They're good for your soul. And that's, you know, I can't wait. Man, they're both entering their third seasons. And, you know, I know you watch Better Call Saul. You haven't checked out much Fargo yet, have you?
I watched part of the first season and I liked it, but I don't remember why I stopped. I think I just got distracted by other shows.
That's fair. And season one of Fargo is kind of weird, being a fan of the movie, because it feels kind of like a retread of that stuff.
I think that might have been part of why I got distracted so easily. I'm like, oh yeah, this is like that one, but everything's a little bit different, and they acknowledge that that one happened.
Yeah, well, that's the part where I got hooked, is when they actually tied it directly into it, because the whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking like, okay, there's like a pregnant cop, and like this character's kind of like Steve Buscemi's character from the movie, and I just don't really understand if it's a reboot or a remake or a sequel. And then they just very directly draw the line, like, oh, and then this character finds this thing from the movie. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I get it, I'm on board. And then season two is its own crazy, beautiful thing. It's like in the 70s, and Ted Danson's in it, and it's one of my favorite things. I constantly have a DVD copy of Fargo season two in my truck at all times, just in case I need to let somebody borrow it.
Oh, okay, I thought like you also had a portable DVD player. Like, oh, I got to watch one of those scenes right now.
No, I'm a Fargo evangelist. I just go around door to door like, have you heard the good news about Fargo season two?
And what do they say?
Yeah. They usually ask me to leave the property.
Oh. You weren't wearing your Fargo clothes.
That's true. And then I guess it would help if I had my Fargo cosplay on and also did the Fargo accent like don't you know, and stuff and such. I don't know. I can't do it. I'm no Ewan McGregor, who is playing two roles in the new season of Fargo. It's going to be bananas.
Who do you cosplay as?
I cosplay as the Steve Buscemi character, but like after.
Spoiler! For anyone who hasn't seen Fargo.
I feel like that's... I don't know. Is that... I thought that was like at a like Darth Vader's Luke's father level of like pop culture saturation. Did I overread that? I thought everyone knew that.
I didn't know it at all until I watched Fargo.
Oh man, it's pretty gnarly. So I'm gonna just like transition over to making this just a recommendation for the movie Fargo.
We always do seem to change our happy hours partway through. As we talk to convince ourselves, no, that's not really what we're happy about.
But yeah, Fargo's back, and then man, Better Call Saul. I'm really excited about that. Because I feel like it has, well, you know, I don't know about you. I feel like we've had conversations about it. I think it's not as flashy as Breaking Bad. It's not as big and flashy and cool in a lot of ways. But I think overall it's better in a lot of interesting ways.
That's true.
Maybe it's a little more, I don't know, more, a little more thoughtful, a little more even-handed.
I think I like it more because I'm a big fan of people who are con men type characters, mm-hmm. and he does a lot of that on the show, or at least sneaky ways to get his way. I like watching things with that, and that kind of happened in Breaking Bad, but he was more using his smarts to just outsmart someone, not trick them, which is a little bit different, I guess.
And the cool thing about and the really cool thing about it is that they, Vince Gilligan and company, took the Saul Goodman character, who in the original series, he was fun to watch, but I didn't have a lot of fondness for. He was more of a plot device than a full-fledged character in my book. And then they're like doing this really beautiful, breathtaking thing where it's like, no, let's go back and we're gonna flesh this out, and like he's his own guy. And they're actually making Breaking Bad, which arguably one of the best series ever, they're actually elevating it and making it even better by having this prequel series. And it's a bit of like a high wire act, because at any moment I'm a little nervous when I watch it. I'm like, oh, they could actually like just screw up and the whole thing falls apart at this point. Like it's like a real high risk, high reward thing. But first two seasons were, you know, amazing. So I'm very optimistic for season three.
I like them both. I mean, both seasons. I like both shows too, but I really like Better Call Saul, and I'm excited.
Okay.
When is that?
Better Call Saul returns April 10th, and Fargo will be April 19th.
All right, so April 10th it is.
Yep. Anyway, that does it for Happy Hour. Let's move on to the bummer.
Oh, man!
That's right. Bummer Patrol's part where we kind of, you know, turn it down and... Little low key talk about things that are, you know, not so great. What's Sketchfield and Blue Ben?
Oh, my new nickname can be Blue Ben because I'm so blue now.
The Blue Ben Group. Just three bins painted blue, pretending to drum cans of paint. I've never seen the Blue Man Group.
They have drums.
What I think they do though.
Well, they have like holes in their chest that paint comes out of. And so while they're drumming, paint will be falling on the drum. So as they drum, little glowy paints will fly up from it. That's part of it. They do other fun things.
Like throw marshmallows.
Oh, yes. I can't catch marshmallows in my mouth.
No. Well, that's okay because, you know, it's the Blue Bin Group. So we'll like adapt it to your own personal strengths.
We just all sit there and podcast and play video games and read Stephen King.
Board games. Yeah, pretty much.
I would watch that. I'd be a part of it even.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably bummed about something, but I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, you want me to take the lead and
You probably should. I forgot what I was gonna do.
Okay. No, it's cool, man. It's, you know, we've all been there. My bummer patrol is I recently took a trip to Six Flags Over Georgia. Local theme park.
Sounds
fun. You've been there.
I have.
Yes, I have a season pass, so I go, you know, a few times a year. and ride the coasters. Big coaster head. We've established that.
Is everything who's a fan of someone is a something head?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. That's, well, yes and no. Truthfully, it's more of a, I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes I hear certain turns of phrase and I become enamored with them and I just use them at any given time.
And head is yours.
Any chance, like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, anybody that's a fan of a thing is a something head. Like, if you're a big fan of citrus, you're a lemon head. Yeah. Or I feel like I say the phrase throwing shade too much, so I'm going to try to cut that back.
I don't know. You used it appropriately on a recent Facebook status I saw of yours.
Oh, yeah.
You were commenting back and forth.
I try.
It was well used. You have officially become a millennial.
Wait, is that a millennial thing?
I felt like it is. I didn't feel like it's a thing like people in their 80s are saying.
I thought it was more of like a 1920s gangster thing, like, throwing shade over here, see?
I will Google this and find out the origin of the phrase while you continue.
Although, if it is like a millennial thing, the new thing I want to see is like a character that's a 1920s gangster that just says like nonsense millennial stuff, like on fleek and what snapback? Is that one?
Maybe clapback, that's it.
All right, no, snapback is the hat. Yes, that's right.
Oh, it first comes from the black and Latino gay communities in the 1990s.
Okay, well, there you go. wouldn't have guessed.
Neither would I. That's very specific. Oh, specifically about drag queens in New York City.
Huh.
That's what I found. I'm also just skimming the page, so all of that could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's well, I mean, how, it's we, on the internet, that's how so we do here.
It must be true if it's on the internet. Well, that's good. That's cool. I'm glad that we took the time to learn the etymology of throwing shade.
So you're a Coastarian.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right. Coastarian. I'm sorry. Yes.
From Costa Rica.
Right. The roller coaster capital of the world. Yes. Costa Rica.
That's why it's called that. Why else would they?
Of course. Exactly. We all know this. We all learned this in fourth grade.
Well, if you've watched the Geography Guy's videos, you would know that that means rich coast. Because that's what he taught me.
Well, I haven't watched those videos yet, but it's on my old YouTube queue.
You definitely should.
But
so you're in Costa Rica.
I went to Six Flags. I'm in Costa Rica. I go to the Six Flags theme park. And with a buddy of mine and his son, we go straight for the Goliath, the biggest, best roller coaster in the park. We wait in line for about 45 minutes, and then the coaster breaks down.
Oh.
So we stand around for a while, like, oh, maybe they'll fix it. I don't know. Things are getting weird. You know, we're almost there. And after a while, we get out of line and leave. And as soon as we get out of line, it's back up and running. So it's like, okay, well, that's it's unfortunate, but that's how it's going to work. No matter how long we stood there, when we walked away, it was going to run again.
Maybe you were just bad luck.
That's kind of the kind of way the day went, because then we took a break to eat a giant turkey leg, which was pretty good. It's the one good part of the trip.
That's the best part of any trip.
And then is the giant turkey leg?
I don't even like turkey, but it's one of the best parts of seeing people eating turkey legs.
That's true. That's weird. It's weird that, you know, Any like big outdoor event, turkey legs are available. The Ren Faire, theme parks, zoos, it's requisite.
But in zoos, they're peacock legs. They have plenty of them there.
Oh. But yeah, no, of course.
Sorry if anyone didn't know that. I ruined it for you. The one where we ruined zoos, part two.
Oh, man. It's a deep callback. Thanks. I appreciated that one. I hope maybe at least one other person did, but I really liked it.
I think that one was about people zoos.
It was, yeah. It got real weird.
Yeah, turkey legs is the one reason I go to the Ren Faire. To watch people eat them.
Really? You do it to watch people eat turkey legs?
To watch people in bad period costumes eat turkey legs.
Well, I had a turkey leg at a theme park. And then afterwards, we went to another coaster called the Blue Hawk, which is a metal coaster with a bunch of loops and kind of has like the over shoulder harness restraint. I don't know. I should probably become more familiar with the roller coaster terminology so I can, you know, use the proper terms.
Yeah, as a coasterian, you probably should know.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. But we wait in line and we get on the coaster, pull down the restraint over the shoulder, like, all right, here we go. This is it. The guy in charge of pushing the button to make the coaster goes, counting down, like, all right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And then the shoulder harnesses pop up. They're like, oh, we're having some technical difficulties. Please step off to the side. And, you know, we're going to work it out. So we walked, you know, to the exit and we waited for like 10 minutes. We're like, okay, come on, everybody come back. We get back on. Same thing happens again. They're like, oh, okay, no, we're closing it down for the day. We're having problems. Sorry. And then we just left. That was it. That was the day. Didn't really accomplish anything at all.
If you want to look on the bright side of that, they could have popped up and then you could have gone forward. And that would have been bad.
Well, I guess.
At least it didn't move after they popped up. Or if they popped up while you were upside down.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I guess it could always be slightly worse.
What if the first roller coaster broke down while you were on it? And then the rail broke and your whole cart flew off into the parking lot. But it actually ended up that you had a premonition and then that didn't happen. So you chose not to get on the roller coaster. And then you die in creative ways later.
Oh, like a Final Destination situation.
Exactly.
I almost said Deadliest Catch. Oh, like a real Deadliest Catch.
Exactly, like Deadliest Catch. Like even the next Final Destination movie's on a crab boat.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're kind of running out of premises for that series. What are they on now, like 6, 7? I mean, they could do a crab boat.
I think they had the final and then made another one, and I hate when they do that. But they were all interesting, so I didn't care. Plus, Todd Packer was in the last one. I feel like he got covered in tar, but I might not be remembering that right.
Yeah, that's right. The fourth one's called The Final Destination. And then after that, there's Final Destination 5.
5 is like a suspension bridge with cars on it. I think 4 is NASCAR? Yeah, 4 is NASCAR. Or no, it's professional car racing event.
Yeah, they did not secure the NASCAR license for that one.
I don't think NASCAR would be okay with a terrible car crash killing tons of people in the stands.
Oh, although, yeah, no, actually, the one you're talking about is actually Final Destination 3.
Oh, that one's 3? Oh, wait.
Well, the coaster.
Oh, yeah, the coaster's 3. 2 is the highway with a logging truck that made me terrified of driving near logging trucks.
I think that's a healthy fear. I think people should probably just keep their distance from logging trucks when possible.
Pretty much any time there's a truck carrying something that is round, I get terrified it's going to roll off.
Yeah, I mean, that seems healthy. So,
oh,
very,
God.
You know, healthy, rational fear keeps us alive.
So, anyway, your Bummer Patrol is Costa Rica.
Yep. Wait, no. Costa Rica, yes.
Yeah, because you're a Costa Rican.
Yes, I guess so. What about you, Ben? What's your Bummer Patrol?
I couldn't remember, so I'm going to go with something that happened at work last weekend. So because of a series of unfortunate events, not the show, just an actual series of events that happened, I ended up alone for the weekend. The other manager was out of town on a cruise. The other employee had a sudden wedding or something to go to, I guess. I don't know. And because of that, I had to work alone. So I had to close off a bunch of rooms because I can't run 3 rooms with just me. Because the timing of that, people could get out early, people could come in at the same time. It'd just be a big pain. All right, well, we had one group come in where one of the people in the group was really not good at it, but thought they were really, really good at it. And the rest of their team, I felt bad for them because they were trying to solve it. But this one person kept having to call me in and ask for help on, I think, literally every single puzzle. Now, I tried to explain it and give hints on each one, and they still wouldn't understand. And their kid did understand and try, like, their kid's like, I think, 9 or 10. He's like, oh, yeah, I get it. It's like this. And she was like, no, it's not like this. It's like this. I'm like, no, he's definitely right. And that was the whole way through. And then she started, like, berating her husband behind his back, like, whenever he went out to get in the car and look for an umbrella or something. I don't know. It was bad. We had a group of people who are very loud. I think they're having some kind of reunion like 5 or 6 of them that haven't seen each other in a while. They were so loud, I could hear them in the back room, like, yelling out numbers they were trying, and people in the lobby could even hear the numbers they were trying. Some stuff broke that I couldn't fix, so that was cool, too. Oh, no, I remember what my bumper troll was supposed to be. So all that happened. Ignore that. Cancel.
No, that was a false start on the bumper patrol. It's a 15-year penalty, Ben.
No, that was just a premonition. You imagine that I said that, but now that I avoided it, I'm going to die in a creative way. Final destination? Binal destination? My name doesn't really work.
We'll get there. I think we can come up with something.
Well, all right, what happened? I was leaving work one day, and I stepped off the curb, which was lower on one half than the other, I found out. And I twisted my foot sideways, and it really hurts on the left side of my left foot now because I fell over when I did that.
Nope.
It hurt in my shoe. I kind of had to hobble around for a couple days. I thought it was getting better. And then I sat on my foot, which is – I normally – like, while I'm getting up or sitting down, I'll sometimes sit there like that for a second. I forgot my foot was injured, and I did it, and now it hurts again. So I kind of have to hobble.
That is a bummer. Do you think it's a sprain or a strain?
I never knew what those things were because I didn't play sports. And I assume those are sports words.
Hmm. No, sure. Oh, final destination bin. Did we do that one?
Final destination bin?
Final destination bin.
Oh, I thought we were just having the word bin at the end of it either way. No, final destination bin. Okay, there we go. Episode title. Brianal. That doesn't really work. Brianal destination bin.
Yeah, no. We took it one too far on that one.
No. Don't we always?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, usually we go like 3 or 4 steps too far.
Well, let's keep going then.
No. Not on that. I got nothing. The tank's dry.
Well, that's all I have for that.
Okay, well, I'm not a doctor, but take it easy on that foot.
All right, I will try to not jump around too much.
Maybe put some ice on it. Have you iced it or put some kind of cream? I don't know, icy hot.
I have ice cream in the fridge.
Okay, I mean,
I have in the freezer. The fridge would melt.
Right. Well, I mean, if you don't have any icy hot, you can substitute it by if you have some ice cream and then some like queso. You microwave the queso and you put the ice cream on first to dull the pain, and then the hot queso relaxes it. So that's
how I do it.
It's a little life hack for me to you.
And it's a little snack afterwards.
I don't know.
Pour the queso on the ice
cream.
Queso
cheese ice cream.
It's all dairy. There's no difference.
Oh, really? So you can eat any dairy product with another dairy product?
Exactly. That's the rule.
So, like cottage cheese and whipped cream? That's
yes.
Fine.
Perfect.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Dessert. That's all actually right. My favorite dessert.
I just wanted to... Cottage cheese and whipped cream? Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, next time we're hanging out, you know, IRL, cottage cheese and whipped cream on me.
Ooh. No. Well, does it have to be on you?
No, that's not like a no, it's not like one of those weird like eating sushi off a lady situations. No, I mean I'll pay for it.
He's covered in cottage cheese and whipped cream. maybe you should stay in Atlanta, Brian.
What? Oh man, I have to get on Amazon and cancel my order for that 10-gallon tub of the cottage cheese now.
Do you think Hurley would have a giant tub of cottage cheese?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, with there not being any refrigeration on the island, it would not hold up well, but
I was
under the impression that he had to refrigerate ranch, and that seemed fine, so I don't know.
You need a whole tub of that.
That's true. Like, right off a leaf.
Ugh. Anyway. Watch Lost, people.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
That's my happy
hour.
Every
day. No. Wait, is it? It's your bumper patrol.
It's all, well, Lost existing is always my happy hour.
Oh, sure. I mean, that is the eternal happy hour. You're right about that.
All right, so what comes after this? We have something else going on?
You know what? I don't know about you, but I feel like it's probably a good time to bust out a little no news is not new news. Yes, that's right. Time for the latest and greatest of weird, interesting news from the internet. Ben, you've been on the news beat. What you got?
I have. I've been tracking down leads, trying to get the scoop on the story.
That's why we call you Scoops.
Do we? I thought it was because of all the ice cream and queso.
All the ice cream and cottage cheese. I mean, you know, it's like all nicknames. It has multiple names.
I've never once had cottage cheese because I don't eat foods that have names of buildings in them.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't agree with that, but I respect it.
Can you name any other ones? I eat Pizza Hut, but not that often. And the pizza itself isn't called Pizza Hut. It's just called pizza.
That's true. It's not like I'm going to eat a Pizza Hut. I mean,
that'd be impressive.
If they actually took several pizzas and then like built it into a house like Gingerbread, then it could be a Pizza Hut Pizza Hut, but
ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. What about gingerbread houses? You're not cool with that?
I don't eat them while they're in house form. I'll eat the human version. Gingerbread man and woman.
Okay. So you have no problem eating things that are, you know, person-shaped?
No, just nothing that has the name of a location, like a building kind of location. Listeners, if you can think of more, tweet us or something.
What about Watergate salad?
That has a lot of green. Remember, I don't eat color foods. I only eat white foods.
Does it have a lot of green? I actually don't know what Watergate salad is.
I've never heard of it. I assume it has dressing or nuts in it, so I'm good. I don't mind the green part. It's the other stuff on top. Anyway, yeah, if you know of more building foods, tweet us with hashtag building food.
Building food.
Did you have another one?
Scoops.
Oh.
No, I was reading about Watergate salad. I was going to tell you about it.
Yes, boss?
It is a side dish or dessert salad made from pistachio pudding, canned pineapple, whipped topping, and marshmallows.
And cottage cheese.
It sounds kind of gross.
It is a
popular dish in the upper Midwest and other areas of the U.S. where potlucks are popular.
That sounds like a Minnesota thing to me for some reason. I don't know why Minnesota came to mind. Maybe I'm thinking about How I Met Your Mother. Wasn't he from Minnesota?
Yeah, Marshall was from Minnesota. They maybe had a Watergate salad reference.
I feel like they made something where they threw in random foods together. Anyway, I'm here to report the news that New York Times reported like a couple weeks ago. The headline is, lack of Oxford comma could cost Maine company millions in overtime dispute.
Oh.
I feel like on the show before, we've had the old Oxford comma debate. If you don't know what it is, if you have a list of three things, do you put a comma after the second one? You definitely do after the first one. Oxford comma is putting it after the second and before the third one. But some people say it's redundant to do that. I think it's more clear to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the panda one? Eats, shoots, and leaves?
No, right, yeah.
Does he eat, shoots, and leaves? Or does he eat and then shoot and then leave?
Eats, shoots, and leaves.
Things like that. Mm. Anyway, the class action lawsuit, because of an Oxford comma, made it confusing. Let me find the example. All right, it says the canning, processing, preserving, freezing, drying, marketing, storing, packing for distribution or shipment of, and something about overtime for all of those. But is it packing for shipment or packing for shipment or distribution? Is distribution separate from the packing? Who knows? They didn't have the comma because in their main legislation rules, they weren't supposed to have a comma. But now the overtime drivers are mad because they are distribution. And they're pretty sure they should have it. But then my favorite part is the other headline I found that someone worked really hard on. Grammar Moses, punctuation world a dither over Oxford commas day in court. Why do you have to use a dither in a headline?
just to be show-offy, like, check it out, a dither.
I don't approve of the word a dither. That's my new Bummer Patrol.
I guarantee you this has to be the result of somebody losing a bet. Like, okay, now I have to use the word a dither in all of my headlines.
And he did, at least once. But, yeah,
It's not that weird or interesting. I just saw it, and I think the Oxford comma is important.
I agree. I can get behind that. Is there another name that it's sometimes known as, or because I've heard people call it an Oxford comma or
serial comma, I think.
Ah, that's right. It's serial comma. You're right.
I read that one before too. Oh, here's another example that I just found on some website. We invited the rhinoceri, Washington, and Lincoln. Or we invited the rhinoceri, Washington, and Lincoln. So is it all three of those are going? Or do you have two rhinoceroses named Washington and Lincoln?
Yeah, it's not clear. If only somebody were able to use proper punctuation.
Exactly.
Punctuation is important.
Just ask Aunt Josephine from A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Well, you know, if I ever meet her, I'll try to bring it up.
She's played by Meryl Streep in the movie.
Oh, yeah? Who's she played by in the Netflix series?
That lady who was in Desperate Housewives.
Terry Hatcher?
Nope. She was in, like, one or two seasons.
Felicity Huffman?
Nope. Keep guessing while I Google.
Ava Longoria?
She was on that. Nope.
Marcia Cross.
Not her. It's not one of the main four. Someone moved into town.
Oh, well, then I don't know then.
She was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, if that's a good hint.
Hanson?
Yes, Hanson did. All members of it. Her name, I think it's Alfre, A-L-F-R-E. I don't know how to say her name. But that name, Woodard, she was good. And she was in Captain America Civil War as Miriam. I don't know who that was, but she was in it.
Huh.
True Blood, have you seen that?
I still haven't seen Civil War yet.
Why have you not seen Civil War?
It's kind of done with the Marvel movies. I kind of checked out on those.
You've seen other terrible movies.
But I like terrible movies that kind of stand on their own legs. I feel like every Marvel movie is a commercial for the next four Marvel movies, and nothing ever gets resolved.
Well, something's got... they kind of set up Spider-Man, which... The new Spider-Man looks cool. I like the poster for it.
It's a cool poster. I saw that the other day. I don't know. I'm definitely, like, way stoked for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'll definitely see that one, but...
That one should be
I don't know. I'm a little burned out.
I didn't watch Doctor Strange yet, because that seems more magic-y, so I haven't gotten there. I like my superheroes to have science powers, not magic powers. Space powers is okay.
So you don't like Zatara? You're not a Zatara fan?
What? I haven't really seen almost anything of her because she hasn't really made it into anything big.
Okay.
All right. That's all I have for news.
All right. Well, then with that behind us, let's move on to listener feedback. Sound.
The mail's here. Oh, great. Thanks. What's this? A letter for me.
If you'd like to write into the show, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is happycastfeedback@gmail.com. You know, download the show on iTunes, leave a review, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, so on and so forth. Do we have any listener feedback this week, Ben?
We absolutely do. We have two emails.
Oh.
I know. I will read the first one, which is from Q, listener Q, the letter Q. She says, oh, I hit a button and it disappeared, and I don't know where it went.
That's a weird thing for her to say.
did it?
Well, then, I'll read an email.
That's a good idea.
This one's from listener Rob at Robbo1510 on Twitter. Old friend of the show from Lost and Locked days. He says, greetings, gents. Welcome back to the wonderful world of podcasting. It's great to have you guys on the air again. I can confirm that some UK TV series do run for only 6 episodes or less. However, these series usually run at 1 hour per episode. Sherlock is a good example. My happy hour is I'm in Miami today with Mrs. Robbo for holiday. Vacation for you, in parentheticals. Thank you, sir. There's a big tennis tournament going on which we'll visit, as well as hitting the beach and the malls. Because of that, I have no bumper patrol. Stay, keep the pappies, Rob. And then there's a second email postscript.
Ooh.
P.S. Being born in the year of JFK's demise, I can claim to be one of your oldest listeners. Hashtag golden oldie, Robbo.
Hey, I know so, that year.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks to Stephen King.
Yeah, exactly. Well-known educator Stephen King.
Well, everyone knows everything he has written is true.
It's all factual. He's not that great of a writer, but...
What? Yeah, take that actually, back.
He's not that great of a fictional writer, okay. Because everything he writes is true. He's a historian.
Okay, that's fine then. You are forgiven for your blasphemy. Your temporary blasphemy. Well, I found the email. I don't know where it went, but I found it.
Okay, well, I'm glad that it was recovered.
There's like a button in the iPhone email app where pressing it makes an email go to a mysterious place where it can no longer be located.
I don't know. I've done that before, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because it's not even deleted. It just goes to some magic Narnia world, I think. Well, I pulled it back, and Q says, "Dear Ben, Brian, and potential secret guest host." Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no one this week, unfortunately.
"I'm happy to hear that I am on the podcast host shortlist. I'd be happy to come on again." Well, that's good, because you're on next week, or sometime, I don't know.
What?
I haven't actually asked you yet at the time of recording. You'll be on sometime in the future, I hope.
but if we can organize our schedules, I would love to have her back on the show. I had a lot of fun last time she was a guest.
Well, I hope she studied up for Abentus Part 3, because that is going to happen. She continues to answer Caitlin/the new today's question. "We're all running out of time. Human knowledge is paradoxically infinite and incomplete, while human lives are tragically finite." All right. One thing, we should never have Q and Woot on the same podcast.
What? No, I think they might just, cross-cancel each other out, like a double negative scenario.
But it's just the whole way is going to be everyone's dying. There's nothing left soon. It's all over.
This is all meaningless. Yeah. Okay, you're right. Well, then we need to, who would we pair them with? I feel like if we get Woot and Caitlin, the new today, on a podcast together, their energies will actually meet in the middle somewhere, and it'll wind up in an interesting place.
Yeah, if Q and Woot are on a show together, that would be like a black hole would just start forming.
Yeah, we should probably not do that.
Well, she continues again on that happy note. My happy hour this week is Jeopardy. Even though I'm extremely bad at it, it has been my dream to be on Jeopardy ever since I was a little tot. I would like to point out here that she does the correct thing and puts the exclamation point after Jeopardy every single time.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ben, you're not pronouncing it right. It's called Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. Well, it's not like all caps. It's just Jeopardy.
But, you know, the exclamation mark.
But that's a good detail in here. Like most trivia shows, those who do well are ones who have a knack for remembering random facts. However, Jeopardy is unique in that answers can sometimes be cognitive puzzles where every answer conforms to some pattern. I learn something new every show. And I wish my trivia night would have some of those word puzzles because I am good at those. My bum patrol is having to do normal adult things while sick. Why do clothes still get dirty and dust still settle during illness? These tasks are annoying enough when one is perfectly healthy. Upon contracting a bug, chores should be magically completed. Who's with me?
Me, I am.
Me too. I'm also with. Her Netflix pick this week is season 1 of The Magicians. I have heard of that, but I didn't really know what it was. But she tells us, in the same vein as Harry Potter, but clearly for adults, this show is about 20-somethings who realize they have magical talent when they undergo an entrance exam for Breakbills, the Harvard-Yale equivalent for the magically gifted. Fantasy fans will enjoy how it parodies fantasy tropes while still managing to fall into many... Season 2 is airing on Sci-Fi, but for those who can't wait to see what happens next, they can read the entire trilogy at their nearest library or bookstore. I did not know that. They might kick you out of the bookstore if you just sit there and read a book.
That's true. But you don't have to take my word for it. That's what it felt like. It's a reasonable moment.
Oh. I was going to say, because you haven't seen it, so you shouldn't take your word for it.
Guys, you have to take my word for it.
Collect all the happies, Q. P.S. I would listen to a You Might Be Correct fake podcast. P.P.S. I actually did listen to the past few podcasts on a chair in the air. A plane.
Oh. I hear we're very good for plane trips. I've never listened to us on a plane before.
I've been on a plane, but I didn't listen to us then because I didn't record a podcast then.
Oh, well, that's a good reason then.
I have time traveled, but not like that.
Well, thank you, Q. It was great receiving your email.
And it will be great talking
many
to
great
you
points.
Next week or sometime in the future.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't count that chicken before it hatches, but she did express interest in returning to the show, so maybe.
Is that phrase
maybe
because
she was being nice.
Is it because some of the eggs might not have chickens inside, so you don't want to count the eggs and go, oh, only three of them came out alive? Or is it because, like, foxes might take some of them?
I always assumed it was the former, but I've never raised chickens before, so I can't say for certain.
Listeners who've raised chickens, write it and let us know. Hashtag chicken eggs hatching saying.
It's a very long hashtag. We need to punch that up, make it a little more catchy.
You can have, I think it's like 99 or 100 character hashtags. That's the limit, somewhere around one of those two numbers.
Oh, I didn't know there was an actual limit on it.
There is. I found that out because of someone who tweeted about it, and I believe them without researching it myself.
That's usually a good move.
Oh, what's this? A bonus. There's a bonus message we have.
What? From who?
From Wheeze. From episode 3, Wee 3 Wheeze fame.
Ooh, that's a name I haven't heard in a very long time.
Nah, Star Trek reference.
Yep, you got me.
I know all references to everything. Anyway, Wheeze messaged me on Facebook, actually, and just told me, my husband just described a nasty diaper by saying, this smells like Molten Panther. He never listened to the he never listened to the podcast, but he must have heard something once. Hope you're doing well.
I mean, you know, I try not to bring it up on the show because you're sensitive about it, but you are, you know, notoriously smelly, so.
I smell just like a baby's diaper.
like a particularly dirty baby's diaper. That's, oh, that's great. If we can just get that phrase in the lexicon, it's like, oh man, this smells like a Molten Panther. Nothing in the world would make me happier than that.
That should be our new podcast review. Somehow.
This podcast smells like a Molten Panther.
The end.
How did that feel? Was that a fun message to receive out of left field?
Well, the first half I was like, oh, wow. And then the second half I'm like, oh, okay. He hasn't even heard of me, really. Probably just heard her say Molten Panther somewhere, and it stuck in his brain.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you are welcome. It has nothing to do with HappyCast. It just seemed like something I was supposed to share here.
Ooh, Dad, that's good call. Good call.
Oh, what's this? Another email.
What?
Eva Zia, best price solar water heater. Dear friend, we manufacture offer best competitive price of solar water heaters. And there's a quote, oh, they have galvanized steel 0.4 millimeter?
Ooh, that's the best kind of solar water heater.
Vacuum tubes? Oh, man, I think we should get some of these. We can get a 300 liter for $162.
But does it have an insulation layer?
It does have an insulation layer of 50 millimeters. Can you believe that? Most have 10.
It's a lot of millimeters.
And welcome to Send Us Inquiries. Regards, Eva.
Well, I don't have any inquiries. Do you?
I don't, other than when can we buy some?
I'll take them all.
All the ones they have, and they probably have none.
Yes. Well, that's a lot of email this week. That's unusual.
Yeah, we'll burn it all now, and I'll have none for next week.
So I'm going to have to ask people to stop writing in so much. Too many emails. Can't deal with it.
There's no such thing. Everyone okay, has to write us because I have declared that we are now their only friend.
Or do you have the authority to make that declaration?
I have a death note.
Oh, okay. Well,
so then, yes.
Since you know my name and face, I will, you know, walk the straight and narrow line, and I'll stop saying that things smell like Molten Panther.
Your name is Willem Brian.
Brian Defoe.
What about Brian DeFriend?
Oh, I like that more than I should have. Okay. We're not going to top that. I think that's the note
that's
that we end on.
That's where we have to end?
Yeah, end on a high note. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. And until next week, remember,
stay happy.